Got to be delicate with those calves.
I'm a journalist with words.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, these are my kind of shows.
Mine too, baby.
Which team is in more of a shambles right now?
Do you ever get tired?
Of what?
Just covering three teams like we do?
No.
I don't even know what to say.
Do we really cover them, or do we just pay attention to them?
If you got to watch, I love it. Take note when you cover them, Steiny.
49ers coming off a 26-21 loss to Jacksonville. They play the Rams Thursday.
Oh my God.
John Lynch said that Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall right now are questionable. So
this
another
is the
week,
Friday.
And it's decision time for
Dude,
the Niners.
Man, this game couldn't come at a worse time, man. An early turnaround, Steiny. But what does that mean? This is their Friday. So Friday, your hot shot wide receiver and your starting quarterback are questionable, not good. I just, like, my dad used to tell me, Steiny, when I blast my rap music as a teenager, boy, turn that stuff down. I just want to turn the volume of the injuries down for the Niners if I could.
Well,
and we don't even know Max availability.
See, there you go. You're incapable of talking about the 49ers without talking about the injuries, which I get. But just don't say you want to turn the volume down on the injuries, because I don't think you really do.
No, I want to get to the bottom of who's going to be under center.
It'll be Purdy, Mac Jones, or...
Martinez.
Danny Martinez, former PR director of the Warriors. I'm sorry, Aaron Martinez.
Yeah, there you go.
But here's what's complicating everything. We don't know anything about Mac Jones. That's what I feel like is complicating everything.
I think we
everything.
Do. Last time we saw him, he was hurt and is dealing with something with an old injury with his knee. That right. We know. And I think it's lightweight cryptic that we're not getting Steiny's okay. It's kind of just lingering. What if Martinez took the field?
Then
still got 60 minutes to play. I thought you were going to say then they're done.
Well, no, if he takes the field, that means there's number one and two are too hurt. But I don't know anything about, I don't think we know the severity of either injury, to tell you the truth. I think we know that Brock isn't quite himself, but I don't know where he's at. And Mac Jones is, to me, even more of a mystery. So they're going to play this till the next official injury designation will be tomorrow. Yeah. And so we'll learn more then. I guess we can attack it or approach it like the 49ers' top two quarterbacks, none of whom are completely healthy. Yeah. So what do you do in that situation? Are you going to play Brock Purdy on the turf down in L.A.? Or do you put Mac Jones out there if he can play? Or if both of them are not 100% and maybe not as mobile as they normally are, do you play the third string? I don't know the answers to any of the questions. And like I said, I feel like we get the answers when we see who plays. So Purdy played on Sunday. They thought he was healthy enough, and they ended up losing the game. Do they think Purdy's healthy enough on Thursday? I don't know. Did he? To me, if he doesn't play Thursday, doesn't that have to tell you that he's more injured Thursday than he was on Sunday? And then we've got to acknowledge that maybe Sunday he had a setback. Mac Jones, can he play? Is he even close to playing?
Yeah.
We don't know. So I have no idea what the Niners are going to end up doing. And I know it's a big game, but I do know that it's still pretty early in the season. And, you get Brock hurt for more than, a month or two, I think you're in big, big trouble. So,
which that injury may be what's already happening, Steiny, because a lot of people in the know, shout out Lo Neal and Brian Baldinger, who was on the morning roast this morning talking about what he didn't see from the pass rush from the Niners. And the reason I bring that up, Steiny, is Uncle Looney's like, "Goo, you're giving the Niners excuses." I'm not. I called out the lack of defense. I called out, what I wasn't seeing from the running game. I'm not giving excuses. I'm just paralyzed by these injuries and the fact that you're 48 hours away from another game and you're already hurt.
Are we turning down the volume on the injuries or?
Oh, you can. It's just blasting. Like, well, the you said you anthem. Want.
I thought you said the goal today was to turn down the volume on all the injuries. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, you are.
I thought that's what you said. Did I misunderstand? I don't know. Tell me. I've been wrong before.
I control what comes out of my Adam's
2017
apple,
once.
But I can't tell you what comes out of my Adam's apple will do away with the injuries. The Niners' volume is blasting loud like a Michael Jackson concert back in the 90s.
Why don't we just come to the conclusion that if the injuries continue, they're going nowhere? So right now they've lost Bosa, and we don't know who's quarterbacking Thursday.
Keep going.
So let's see who's on the field Thursday.
And your starting quarterback may be dealing with an injury that might linger all year.
Okay.
That's a possibility.
Right, and if this is who he is, they're going nowhere. Like, I swear to God, that's why I don't worry about injuries. It's like, if Purdy gets hurt, you're done. Mm. If Curry gets hurt, you're done.
Yeah.
So, they got to figure it out. 888-957-9570 is the number. What would you do if you're Kyle Shanahan? How would you balance it? I get it. We don't know who's hurt and to what extent. But,
man,
I mean, let's start throwing it around. Is your first inclination to play Brock Purdy on Thursday? Or is it to maybe take a safer route if he's in the same or maybe worse? If he feels worse Thursday than he did Sunday, without knowing anything about the injury, I got to believe you can't play him. But I don't know. Like, we've seen Kyle Shanahan, and he will play a guy if he thinks he can go. Yeah. And Purdy said he could go last week, and that's why they ended up going in that direction, clearly.
So what word would you use for the Niners? I said cryptic because I'm scared for them with the injuries and everything not going away. What word would you use for them right now just on where they're at?
Without using a word, I feel like they're in the same spot as the Warriors a little bit. And like you brought it up earlier and, you know, you said this is the price of the 49ers dynasty, even though we know they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
But I do agree there's some similarities between the Niners and the Warriors. And it's too, like, I don't think, the more I think about it, the more I think that the injuries might be a result of having to play a lot of long seasons in a row.
Damn.
And I think we see that also with the Warriors. With the age of some of their players, they wear down a little bit. So I do think that there is a penalty for playing into June if you're an NBA player and playing into February if you're an NFL player. And maybe we're just looking at residual from that, and it's just something you got to deal with. And obviously, the 49ers have to deal with winning some games when they're not at full strength. And if they do, they can weather the storm. If they don't, they're probably going to be in a little trouble.
Yeah, and I hear you. I can't disagree, but there's so many rats on the table for me that go through my mind when I think about currently where the Niners are. And I know we've talked about it. We did it in the crossover. Brock Purdy's new money doesn't kick in to next year. But, Stani, I do wonder, regarding the toe, if that's why we saw the bad Brock. Because he was bad, and we both agree that he was bad. But, you know, I want to selfishly see him out there Thursday just to get more data on, just, you know, for him to bounce back. But if I were to throw it at you right now and the listeners, how much of that toe, and you don't know, but I'm just like, what's your gut telling you? How much of that bad performance was predicated on the toe?
Impossible to say. I just know that he played, and I wonder, I don't know what he played at, 60, 70, 80, right. 90, but it's starting to feel like whatever he played at Sunday, he may not even be that healthy Thursday.
Right.
So that decision then gets made for me really easily. He doesn't play. Because if the toe is a factor as to why he was inaccurate and maybe less mobile, and now he's not feeling as good.
Yeah.
That it's over. They don't play him Thursday and give him 10 days off before you play Tampa Bay, which is going to be an important game against a good opponent.
But just think about 31 other cities. If they say, you know what, Stani, you can't go. Bonte, you're in because Bonte's the backup. There's no problem in regard to the Red Cross, the health aspect of it or the component. But with the Niners, what you just laid out, if Brock can't go, they got drama to deal with health-wise with their backup quarterback, which apparently nobody can give us a report on how Mac Jones is doing. But just think about the gravity of the injury situation that you're dealing with. Normally, okay, our starter can't go, Evan, you're in. But now I don't know Evan's availability. So it's kind of crazy.
888-957-9570 is the number. What do you want to see the Niners do on Thursday at the quarterback position? Hell, what do you want to see them do with Ricky Pearsall? How do you view this game? You know, I get it. It's a big game. It's a division game. It's probably their toughest road game of the year. Nobody ever says punt on a game, but if you could buy yourself a little more time with Pearsall and Purdy and have them more ready for Tampa Bay, I'd probably do that. But again, it's really hard to figure out what you do not knowing the status of Mac Jones.
Yeah.
To me, if Mac Jones, there's so much we don't know. And one is, if Mac Jones would have been healthier, would he have started on Sunday?
No,
I don't
doubt
know
about it. No doubt about it.
So, you know, we're just talking about the state of the three Bay Area teams. Who do you feel, like, if I were to ask you, who do you feel the best about? The Warriors, the Giants, or the San Francisco 49ers? The team you feel the best about and the team you're most concerned about. How would Bay Area sports fans wonder about that? And I would actually, as tough as the Kuminga situation is, I feel like it's less of an issue than where the 49ers are injury-wise and like where they are in their timeline. The Giants have just fired their manager, and they've had four straight 500 seasons, so they're, to me, just treading water. I would actually say, believe it or not, I think I feel better about the Warriors than any of the other two teams right now, and the reason
is saying a lot.
I know. It is. And it's because as much as I don't think you can bring Kuminga back if he doesn't want to be here, I'm sorry, when I look at the big picture, the most important player on the Warriors is Steph Curry. The second most important player is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
The third most important player is Draymond Green. They're all there. They're going to try to attack the year. And so as troubling as the Kuminga thing is, to me in the grand scheme of things, I'm more unsure about the Niners and the Giants right now, if for no other reason than the Warriors still have a big three that we're very familiar with and they've had success with.
Yeah.
So that's 888-957-9570. In a crazy way, I probably feel better about the Warriors right now than the Giants or the Niners.
And coming from you, I mean, I'm shocked. And I'll just tell you why I'm shocked.
I don't like where anybody is really right now.
Well, the answer was going to, a couple days ago, would have been the Warriors for me. But now the more I just think about this team and how the margin of error in regard to injury that the Niners are currently going through, anything happens to Steph, it's over. And we saw that last year. And I know they've yet to play a game, but that's just where I'm at. And I do question, outside of Kuminga, maybe I got PTSD from Pods and Moody and that Rocket series, Steiny, to where, you know, I saw some youngsters take what I deem a step back. But, man, if you're telling me you got to minute manage, finally, you know, the big three, which excites me, I'm like, okay, but then what? Who's taking the reins after that? I'm going to throw you a curveball and say the Giants. And the reason I say the Giants is you got a full offseason of Devers. You got a full offseason of Adamas, and you got Chapman. You got to do some things and spend some Benjamins on the bullpen. But I think the camaraderie component of whoever this new manager is going to be brings this team together, and now you got a chance to start the year fresh with your power bats, your new guys, and that excites me. And I also think about, again, whoever they dub their new manager, I mean, man, here we go, game on. So for me, it's the Giants, because you have personally swayed me on, if Kuminga comes back, and I'm expecting him to, if there are some hard feelings or, you know, he's not at the best mental place that he can be and there's some turmoil, we've kind of seen that and it didn't rear its head till late in the season, or we don't find out till after. So I got the Warriors second on who I feel good about, but I'm going to go Giants first, Donnie, and obviously the Niners third.
Yeah, I'm going Warriors first, if for no other reason than I feel like they know more of who they are than the other teams. As for the Giants, you know, I get it that they could be better next year, but I'm sorry, the way I look at the Giants right now is they're more than just a year or a great acquisition away from winning 88, 90 games. I just do. I mean, when they're – people may hate to hear this, but the Giants are in a malaise. It's four straight years they've been essentially the exact same team, and it is hard to get out of a pattern when you're involved in a pattern like that.
But they've changed the
– They're a 500 team and have been for 4 years. Buster Posey came in, did some things. They still are a 500 team. And I don't know what the answer is other than to get better players in here. But the Giants, to me, are they are the definition of a 500 team. And sometimes I think it's hard to break through when you're – a 500 team, and you've had guys on your team that have been a major part of why you're 500. That's just me. It doesn't mean they can't have a better year next year. I'm not bullish right now on the Giants.
And I get it, but I am from this sense. You know, they looked themselves in the mirror, ownership did, and they were like, you know what, Farhan, this is not working, and you're right. Buster comes in his first year. He gets some things done. It doesn't translate to the field like I thought it was going to. But there was a stunner of a trade, and that guy, Rafi Devers, is going to be along with Adamas in the Giant uniform next year. So now Buster can, you know, you live and you learn. And you can fertilize the plant and plant seeds. And that's what I expect him to do in regard to the bullpen and maybe another starter and do something in free agency. So from that vantage point, I still feel like – and they ran Melvin. So I hear what you're saying, Stoney. The numbers are the numbers in regard to, well, you just ended up what you did the last 4 or 5 years, but you're shopping and you're doing something. And now Buster can go and hopefully go and make the right moves and then come back and we see the Giants break out.
I think they need more players, but –
I'm hoping they get
their core group to me is too small. Like they only have 7 guys on the entire roster to me where you're like, that guy, we know what we're going to get out of him. It's the 3 guys. It's Adamas, it's Chapman, it's Devers, it's Webb, it's Ray. Ramos is on the cusp of being a consistent player. But I just don't think that's enough.
Well, Eldridge, if you get a guy in here.
If
you get a guy in here that can get the best out of Ramos and Jung-Hoo Lee if he's still around, which I expect him to be. But, you know, I get it, Stoney. I just feel like that part matters of who's going to lead this group. And if
we know who's leading this group. It's going to be – oh, you mean manager-wise.
Manager-wise.
I thought you meant player-wise.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. You know, you got – like a guy like Bryce Eldridge. I mean,
what's his role, you know?
I mean, we don't like.
He may not. I got you.
He might. What if he's Luciano?
But you got to find out.
I know you got to find out, but like this is a frustration that I've had, and I wonder if Giants fans have had this too. You hear these names and you get excited about these names, and then they just never really materialize, whether it's Bart, whether it's Matos. Whether it's, you know, Joey, who's the guy I'm forgetting?
Bart.
I mean,
Luciano,
so until
Ramos,
Luciano,
Matos.
Until I put Ramos in a little bit of a different category. He's more elevated than those other 3 guys.
Still playing on my team, Stoney, but
as a DH would be
Patrick
ideal.
Patrick Bailey, he wouldn't be my catcher going forward.
Right, and so you have a catcher that hits 7 homers. What are you going to do? Upgrade that position, or are you going to expect him to be better next year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go to Austin. Austin's in Redwood City. What's going on, Austin? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I just want to touch on this Kuminga thing. My thing is that I don't see where Kuminga is going wrong and trying to provide for his family and put food on this on the table and what he feels like he's worth and what he's worth and he wants to start. When would it ever be his time? And not only that, it shouldn't take them to sign the other, shouldn't wait for Kuminga to sign, for them to sign the other paper, for them to sign a contract, because he not feeding their family at the end of the day. And then also I want to say is this, that when would Stephen Curry and Draymond Green realize, hey, their time is almost up. What more do they got to prove? They're going to win one or they're going to take the Warriors down, all the way down from not even trying to win one. If it makes sense, Iguodala, for example, Sean Livingston, and David West, if they can take a minimum veteran pay cut or whatever, not even pay cut, just take the bench role and lead these young guys into a title just like they did for them. When would they pass that torch to them and let Kuminga run the table? Because they already ran Poole out. They already ran James Wiseman out. Are they going to take the whole team down with them?
What's let Kuminga run the table mean?
Like, not when would his be his turn? They bought Wiggins in to replace him. They bought Jimmy Butler in to replace him. Are they going to say, hey, Jimmy Butler, hey, won't you take over this Iguodala role
or something?
And show Kuminga how it goes throughout the playoffs or whatever.
I got
just
you.
Just like they did with but. When would they start taking the backseat of what I'm saying?
I got you.
And let these youngsters and help these youngsters out.
That's fair.
But you don't have a plethora of youngsters, Donnie, outside of Kuminga, to me, that you could really pass the reins to, or he could be a part of the future.
Well, I'll take Austin Side. Butler and Draymond aren't ready to pass the reins to him.
And they shouldn't be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then he's not going to play a lot. Mm. Like, it's really to me that simple. Like, I get it. First of all, the one thing I want to, and Evan and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, I don't think for one minute any player's mad at Kuminga.
Oh, no, not at all. Then where would the turmoil come from?
The turmoil comes from there's a guy who doesn't want to be there.
Kuminga
himself.
They
understand why he doesn't want to be there, and they're not mad at him, and they get that business is business. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's not a distraction. It just means they're not mad at Kuminga. But they'll be able to tell right away how committed he is. And if they don't think he's totally committed, that's going to be a monster issue for the Warriors. And then they're going to have to navigate that. That's the problem. We're probably going to get some resolution in terms of the decision on Kuminga in the next 24 hours.
But his attitude.
But we're not getting any resolution for a while about what it's going to look like and how it's going to all work out. But I don't think it's going to go smoothly if he comes back on that qualifying offer.
The clock's ticking. We're going to find out, man.
Which Bay Area team right now? Every Bay Area team's going through some, I think turmoil's a little too strong, but each Bay Area team's going through something right now, whether it's the injuries for the Niners, whether it's the Giants trying to figure out who their next manager's going to be. And also how they're going to get a little more talent in here. And then we got the Warriors. First practice today. And they've got issues unresolved with Kuminga. So if I were to ask all you guys out there, who do you feel best about? Which of the three Bay Area teams outside the Sharks? Who do you say? And what are you most concerned with? What are you least concerned with in terms of the teams? 888-957-9570. That segment was brought to you by Pier 39.